Good morning, Drift Run Church. It is good to be with you this morning. I want to tell you something. I don't care if you live to be 150 and you witness to the Lord every day, that will still not be enough to praise and worship the Lord and Savior that we serve. Amen? It would not be for all that He has done for each and every one of us. I'll tell you what, I'm thankful. I am so thankful for Him. You know, I have so much stuff running through my mind. I don't know what direction we'll go with this, but you know what? I tell you, I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to stand before you this morning. And I pray, as that song he sang a little bit ago, that I pray that the fire could go out and that people would be touched and would understand that there's only one way that we can ever have any hope in this life. And that's in this hope after this life. And that's serving Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's it. Don't put your trust in anything out here in this world. Don't put your trust in those things out here that'll fade away very fast. Put your trust in something that never fades, never goes away. It's always there for you. No matter where you go, the directions you take, He's standing there. Even though you go away from Him, He's standing with His arms wide open, wanting to bring you back in if you're just willing to accept Him. If you're willing to go to Him. But you know, we have to want it. We have to want it above anything else in our lives. You understand that. I know I preach about that so much, but we've got to want it more than we want life ourselves sometimes. You know that? We've got to want to know Him beyond anything else in His life. And if we don't have that desire, we'll never grow closer to Him. We'll never grow to where we need to be with Him, but we've got to have that desire. We've got to have that want. And I'm telling you, if you get that want in your heart for Him and Him alone and all that you can get of Him, I guarantee you He will give it to you.
Amen.
He will give it to you. There's no doubt. I know that He will give it to you. I know that. You know what? We have a place beyond all this, do we not? This place down here, it's a beautiful world we live in. I know it is. There's a lot of beautiful things in there. But is it not a mess sometimes in your eyes? Does it not seem like that the devil has made a mess of this beautiful world that God has created? He has made a mess of it. I want you to turn to Psalms, the 55th chapter. I want to show you just what David thought about some of this. And also, we're going to be over in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. You can mark that later and turn over there. I'll get over to it here in just a little bit. But in Psalms 55, 1 through 6, give you a minute to turn there, it says this, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from thy supplication. Attend unto me, and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise." Have you ever in your life mourned in your complaint? Have you ever complained and mourned and complained about what life has thrown your way sometime? Maybe some of you have done that. Well, here's David. He's saying the same thing. He said, "I mourned in my complaint and made a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they casted iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me. The terrors of death are falling upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me." I don't know if you've ever been to that point in life. I don't know, but I know that there have been times in my life that I have complained. There have been times in my life when I felt that, you know what, this world is overwhelming to me, and everything's coming upon me. I thought all these things. Well, David's saying the same thing here. Now listen to this last verse. This is the point I want to say. "And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Mark that in your Bible. Remember that, folks. Read it with me again. And I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Why would David say something? Have you ever had those moments when you just wanted to get away from it all? Have you ever had those moments where you wish that you could just pick up and just go away from everything that was facing you? Here was David, a man after God's own heart, saying the exact same thing that you and I have found in our lives at times. We just wanted to get away from it all. And I'll tell you what, David felt that. He felt it. He was being oppressed by his enemies. He was tired of persecution, the wickedness that he could see all around him. He was tired of it all. And he just wanted to get away from it. I've been there. Have you ever been there? You can raise your hands. That's fine. It's not a shame to raise your hands. I know. I tell you, I'm one of the people that believe if I have been there, I know that you have been there sometime in your life. The stuff has come upon you to be oppressed like we are sometimes, and the wickedness is out in this world. John, I want to get away from it sometimes. Do you know? We all want to. I'd like to just get away. And David felt the same thing. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm going to tell you, we're going to get away from it. We're going to get away from it one of these days. We're going to. Now, you've had those cow gone moments. How many of you remember the old cow gone commercials where it said, cow gone, take me away? We've had them. And you know, well, one of these days, we're going to get away. We're going to get away from all this nonsense. You know what? If by death our souls will fly away one of these days, by death our souls will fly away to be with the Lord if we're a Christian. And one day, on the day of the rapture, our bodies are going to go up to meet that soul one of these days. And I want to tell you something else. If you're here today and the Lord comes back today and you're a Christian, you're going to go out of this old world right now. We are going to get away from this nonsense down here one of these days. Forever. Forever and evermore. And praise God for that. I'll tell you, I like the story of the old farmer and the clock. And here's what he said. He was laying in bed when he had one of his grandfather clocks. It was an old one. It was getting pretty well worn out. Well, during the middle of the night, the thing struck 16 times. Instead of just 12 or 1, it struck 16 times. The old farmer rolled over and shook his wife and said, honey, it's got more time. He said, it's been longer than what we thought. And you know what? There's been more time than we thought. You know what? It's getting closer than what we think, folks. It is getting closer than what we think. What we even know. I believe in my heart, and preachers have been preaching it for years, and I know that. And they may be preaching another 100 years. I'm not here to stand and tell you I know. But I feel in my heart that the days are growing shorter. I feel in my heart that we need to be more on fire for the Lord than what we were yesterday. I feel in my heart that we need to be serving Him with all of our strength and all of our power. He could split the eastern sky at any moment. He could come back and take His church out of here. And I want you to know I feel that it could be happening any day, any moment. Our mission is not to worry about when it happens. Our mission is to worry about whether or not we're ready to go. If He does split the eastern sky, our mission is to worry about whether our families are ready to go. Our mission is to worry about whether our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers are ready to go out of this life. And if they are not, we should be very concerned because the Lord is coming back, whether He comes back for the church, whether He comes back for them as individuals. He's coming back. I believe it's true concerning the coming of the Lord is as later than it ever is, ever has been. It is later. The moment that He went back up into heaven, the moment that He died on the cross and He rose from that grave and He ascended up into heaven, I want you to know something this morning. The latter days begin right then. They begin. And if you don't think that it's later now than what it was then, you better be reading your Bible, because it is. We're getting closer every breath we take. Not looking. I'll tell you what. I'm not looking for the undertaker. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the uptaker. You've heard that before, have you not? I'm looking for that one to take me up. If the undertaker comes and takes me away, praise God. You know, somebody said that to some guy before, and he's looking like I was crazy. And I told him what old Paul said. You know, he said, for me to die is gain. And that guy looked at me and he said, what's the matter with you? I said, listen, I've got something beyond down here. I don't worry about whether or not this could be my last day on this earth all the time. Yes, I love my family. My family, all that's with me, I love them all. But praise God, I'm going to a place where I never have to worry ever again in my life. Never. Never. I tell you what, David had enough. He had had enough. We all have experienced that in our lifetime from time to time. Notice what he said in that verse. He said, this flying away involved the lifting up. Why was David thinking about, as they're putting it in terms of a dove, lifting up? Why? Because what is up? Heaven's up. The God is up. My Savior is up and up there. I tell you what, why wouldn't I want to go up? I don't want to go down. We know what's down there. Right? We know what's down there. I tell you, praise God. Why? Because God is there. Psalms 123:1. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. There is one that dwells in the heavens, and it's God Almighty, and His Son Jesus Christ, and all the heavenly hosts are up. I want to go up one of these days. Amen? Luke 24:15-51. And He led them out as far as to Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Amen? He wasn't taken down. He was carried up into heaven. Praise God for that. And I'll tell you what, let's turn over to Acts 1:2. And it says over there, over in Acts 9:11. And he said, and when he had spoken these things, this is Jesus, and while they beheld, he was taken up when a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said unto him, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come and like Jesus is up. And if Jesus went up, David wants to go up one of these days. I want to go up. And I hope and pray, if you're here this morning, I hope your goal is to go up and keep going up until we get a hold of Jesus Christ one of these days. All right. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4. Whenever I'm talking about being lifted up, it involves a people. Does it not? Look what he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us now, ye ought to walk to please God, so that ye would abound. Beseech you, brethren. I want to tell you something this morning. Furthermore, Jesus is coming after His people one of these days. He's coming after a people that is saved, that is bought by the blood. He's not coming. You know, He's coming. Whenever He splits Jesus Christ and a rapture happens, He's not coming for the dead that's dead without Him. He's coming for the dead that died in Christ. Is He not? He's coming for us who have accepted Him as His personal Savior. That's who. He's not coming for those that are lost and dead in sin. He's not coming. The saved will be lifted up. The saved will be lifted up. I want to ask you a question this morning. Let me just be as blunt as I can. If I ask you, if you were an American this morning, how many of you raise your hand and say, I think I am? I don't see one of you. You know you're an American, do you? You better know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ lives in your heart. If you want to, if you want the rapture one of these days, if you want to experience the joys of going to heaven, you better know beyond a shadow of a doubt, just like you know you're an American, you better know that you are a Christian. You better know that. Brother, you know that. Job didn't say, I guess my Redeemer lives. I want you to know that. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. Know that your Redeemer lives this morning beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'll tell you, I've heard, you know what, I just really don't know if I'm going to make it to heaven. What? If you've been serving the Lord and you don't, you need to run to it. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. If you do not know for sure. Listen, when I went down to the hospital the other day, whenever Laura was down there, and she knows, and she just testified a little bit ago, how that God was watching over her, where she went down through and how she did. I want you to know something. People are dying in this world every day and going out of this life, whether by accidents or by just sickness or whatever it may be. But listen, your time when this is by. All of us have that appointment. That's not the issue. We've got to be ready. And we've got to say, I know that my Redeemer, I know that He liveth within my heart. I know that Jesus isn't just returning for anyone who thinks they are saved. He's with them. Praise God. I'm being lifted up to Him involves a person. What person do you suppose that would be? That's Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says right there, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God and the dead in Christ. Jesus Christ isn't going to send somebody back for us. He's coming personally.
Amen.
Amen. He's coming after us. Praise God, he's coming for us. You know who Dale Earnhardt was? You remember him, the race car driver that died here a few years ago? You know, they did the autopsy on him after he hit that wall going 180 miles an hour, and they found out that he had evidently, his head had whipped back and forth so violently, and then his chin come down and hit the steering wheel, and of course it broke his neck and killed him. But you know also that he had a device that he could have wore that possibly, may have been able to save his life. Maybe. That's what they're saying. But he chose not to wear that device for the fact that he could not race as good if he wore that device. He chose that himself. He chose that himself. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. I'm giving you a device by which you can save your soul this morning. That is Jesus Christ. That's who it is. I'm throwing that device out there to you right now. That person is Jesus Christ. And if you just willingly accept not to accept him, you're no better than Dale Earnhardt was driving around that track at 100 miles, just taking a chance, going down through this, going around that, just taking a chance, just thinking, well, you know what, I could win a race or two if I don't wear that. I'm going to tell you something. If you do not accept Jesus and know him, you will not be winning any races. Because you know why? You chose in your heart not to accept the one true thing that can save your soul, and that is Jesus Christ. You know that? You have chosen that yourself. It isn't your parents you can blame. It isn't even on whoever you want to. You've heard in your sound of your hearing that Jesus Christ is the only way, and if you do not accept him, you chose to overstep those bounds yourself. It'll be upon you. You're not going to stand there and say, well, you know what? Drift Run Church did this to me. My mother did this. My dad did this. You will not do that. Number one, you won't even lift your eyes towards a judging God. Your head is going to be bowed. He's going to open the books. He's going to read from it just exactly what you've done. And then you're going to be sent to your judgment. Oh, is that sad? We've all had the opportunity. All of us have the opportunity. We've all had the opportunity. We must accept Jesus Christ. We must take him. We must do that. I'll tell you what. He's not our designated. I wrote this down. I seen this the other day, and I wanted to read this to you. It's called Designated Driver. One of the encouragements to you, trust sometimes during this valley of mine, I've tried so hard to grab the wheel, so to speak, and do the driving myself. Has anybody ever done that? Always with terrible results. I found that God is well aware of my needs and have both ever could. So I'm letting go. This is not something that happened overnight. You will not trust him enough just overnight to truly let go and let him have it all sometimes. We just don't do it. It takes faith. It takes walking in faith to do this. You made a driver. And that's what you are if you're driving without Jesus Christ at the wheel. Do you understand that? We're just the designated driver sometimes. We're doing that. It's difficult to let go, but time after time he has proven that he is a much more, he knows the roads of my life like the back of his hand. Listen, so I'm determined to set back and just enjoy the trip. Folks, do you see that this word for this man right here, this designated driver control of our lives? We've got to let him do driving. There's a power beyond any imagination that we could ever imagine, right? Look what it says in 16 and 17 again, of 1 Thessalonians, their 4th chapter. And it says, the last part, and when the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want you to know something. We cannot even imagine the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We cannot comprehend it. We cannot put it fully into wind up here and preach to you for 4 or 5 hours and get a point across. It's not possible. Because, listen to me, not only are the dead, but those that are alive are going to be transformed in the moment of an eye. We're going to be called up together. We cannot even comprehend it. I'm reminded of the story back in 1933, or 1833, there was a big meteor shower. And this old farmer was out, and he seen it, and he ran to the graveyard thinking it was the rapture. And he ran down, and you know why he ran down to the graveyard? He wanted to see his friend who had been buried there, who had lost an arm, due to a tree accident years ago. He wanted to see him come up out of the grave fully with his arms and everything. That, maybe he misunderstood what was going on there, but praise God, he had it right. He had a right. We're going to be that. Well, until we get up there, we're not going to even imagine the power, the transforming power of the resurrection. You know, while we walk around here with arthritis and all the things that afflict us down here, then I guarantee you it will not be there. It will not be there. Let's imagine this. When we get up there, we're going to be sitting around with David. We're going to be sitting around with Elijah. We're going to be sitting around with all the saints of God, Paul, the greatest soul winner of all time, and Stephen the martyr. We're going to be able to sit around up there, and you want to talk about a fellowship. We have great fellowship in this church. We have good times in this church sometimes, do we not? The Spirit moves in here. But imagine it being that way all the time. And most of all, just think about looking at the one who saved us. Does that not spin the Spirit up and down your spine? Does that not just turn you upside down inside, knowing that one of these days, the fellowship that we're going to have, the people that are going to be there? I'll tell you what, I cannot wait. Paul, how'd you do it? Paul, how did you get, whenever you were struck blind, you turned 180 degrees around. You started serving Jesus, and then you walked with the Lord and kept on going. Paul, how did you do it? And we're going to be able to talk face to face. And he's going to talk to us. I can't wait. I cannot wait to get to, I don't have the answer to everything. I want you to know one of these days I'll have all the answers. I'll have them. Let's just imagine that for a minute. Listen. Whenever he comes to take his church out of here, you may be driving down the road, and you may be driving down there, maybe there's somebody in your car that's not saved, and you know what? He's going to take you out of here. That car is going to go on by going. There's going to be malls where there's people that's going to be going. There's going to be airplanes where people are going to be going. And you know what's sad? There are going to be churches where people are going to be going. There are going to be churches where people will be left. They've had their opportunities. They've had their opportunity to accept Jesus Christ, and they didn't do it. They've had those opportunities. But praise God, I'll tell you what, we will be called up. The left behind people are going to be scratching their heads. They're going to be trying to figure out, well, what happened to Brother Dave? I hope they knew from what I've talked to him. Listen, I'm in a better place. A lot better place. I read the story of a paper boy that had no legs. I believe that he lives in a town. He had no legs. And they made a special cart for him where he could deliver papers. He'd roll that thing, and he'd deliver papers. Well, he'd have papers delivered, and he'd go to the bus, and this guy was watching him. He said, how's that guy going to get on the bus? He said, drove up to the bus, and the bus driver came down and just snatched him right up, got him on the bus. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is going to snatch us out of here one of these days. He's going to snatch us out of here. Praise God. Come on, amen. Jesus will lift us up out of here. Really not? No, listen, involving leaving. Listen to what it says here. Revelation, no wise enter into anything whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but that which are right. Sin will not go to heaven. Do we understand that this morning? None. If you're here this morning and there's sin in your life, you have no hope of ever reaching heaven unless you accept Jesus. You need to accept Him. This is the reason some will not make it. That's the reason. It's not because Jesus, it's not because God is prejudiced. He will save anybody that's willing to accept His Son. They love their sin so much that they're not willing to repent. That's what it is. They love their sin more than they love Jesus. That's what they do. As long as we walk on this earth, we will struggle with sin. Every one of us will struggle with it. As long as the Father, that if something happens in our life, if we sin, if we fall, we can go back to Him. And if you've never accepted, He wants you to come. We have that. We are saved in the past. We are saved to Jesus. Amen? You know what a hot air balloon does? They're bound down by ropes and sandbags, right? Whenever they cut those ropes, a hot air balloon starts going up. And as it goes up, you know what? Jesus wants you to cut the ropes of sin. He wants you to take those old things, those weights that weigh you down, throw them out so you can get closer to Him. That's what He wants. What does it say in Hebrews 12:1? You all know it. Wherefore, seeing also we are compressed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Get rid of the sandbags. You want to get higher and closer to God. You know what? After you're saved, you cut the sin loose, and then get rid of those weights that weigh you down. People walk around with this stuff all their life. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Let him do that. Listen, we're going to leave all of our sorrows behind, are we not? Revelation 12:4, and God shall wipe away all of our tears. Amen. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Death is still prevalent in this world today. It comes and takes the ones that are so close to us, does it not? It takes them. I mean, I could go on. My grandmother, I lived with her for years, and my grandfather, and I loved them to no end. I lost both of them. But you know what? You know, listen to what, one of these days we're going to a place. Renita, we're going to a place where there's never going to be death touch us again. Never. It's not going to touch us. It'll never touch us again. And you know why? Because death is going to be the last enemy to be defeated. And it will be defeated. It will be defeated. We have temporary escapes down in this world. It seems like, you know, we have a little bit of joy for a while, but yet after all that, things still come upon us sometimes. But you know what? At the turn of the last century, listen to this, all the nations got together at the turn of the last century, and they said that we're never going to have any more wars. All the nations agreed. It was 18 years later they fought World War I, and they've been fighting them ever since. Why? Because mankind can't do nothing on their own. It takes Jesus Christ. And I tell you, till he comes back in order, I'll tell you what it's going to be like it is. How do we work out for them sorrow like was? It can't be stopped. Only the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can do that sorrow. Can get rid of it. That's the only thing that can get rid of it. Another thing is going to happen. Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and the brimstone. He's got rain on this earth right now. There's coming a time he won't. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And he will burn forever and ever. Never more to deceive us. Never more. There's going to be a new heaven and a new order. And it's going to be all about Jesus there. I want to be there. Satan will not be there. John Wesley once said, give me 100 good men. John Wesley once said, you give me 100 good men. He said, I don't care if they're preachers. I don't care if they're laymen. And he said, we can shake up the world. He's right. Accomplish mighty things where two or three are just gathered together. Just think what a whole church could do. Just think what Satan's kingdom would not have no reign over us no more. For when the dead door, let Jesus answer it. Let him answer it. Don't try to answer the thing yourself. And he's going to knock. Believe you me, he's going to knock. Control of it. If you never leave us alone on this earth, you know why? Did he leave Jesus alone when he was here? No. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for a while. He left him. You know what? He tempts us down here. He may leave us alone for a while, but he's coming back. He has no sympathy on you. I told you that last. He has none. And he wants, I'll tell you what, he has none. He wants to destroy you. But we will not be bothered with that old imp in heaven, will we not? We're not going to be bothered with him. Praise God. Notice, we have a landing place. So shall we ever be with the Lord forever. Where are we going, folks? Where are we going when we get out of this world? Every departure has a destination to go to, right? I don't care if you depart to go to work in the morning, your destination is work, right? You're going from home to work. If you're going on vacation, you got to leave this world. We have a destination to go to, right? I tell you, praise God. The landing place involves the bodies. You know, the bodies are getting for a conversation is in heaven. For whence also we look unto the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's his body. We won't have that same old body anymore, like I told you earlier. Praise God, we're going to have a new body. I tell you, I can't wait. Oh, I cannot wait for that. I just cannot. How many are excited about your new body? Amen. I tell you, I am. I am, praise God. Matthew 8:11, and I will say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. We're going to have new buddies, are we not? We're going to have that. Praise God, we've got all these people down here to go. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I tell you what, we have a place that this world, the termites can't get to. That the rot and all the things that do these sort of hold. We've got a place we can go to. Beautiful sight on earth, has he not? The Taj Mahal, the Great Wall of China, all the things that's in the States that God has allowed man through his wisdom to build. You know what? It'd be just like a little shack up in heaven for what we've got to go to up here. That's all because for all those would be like just like a little shanty up in heaven. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Listen, we cannot even comprehend. There was a dying woman, and she had a caretaker that was beside of her. And this woman, she was dying, and she was having this caretaker was asking her. She said, "What? What are you so happy about?" She said, "I'm going to." And she lived in a little old shack. She said, "The God has got a place." Then I guess the caretaker got to understand why she was so happy. We should be happy, folks. We've got something beyond all this, do we not? We have got something beyond all this. Praise God. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord forever. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. David said he wished he could fly away. Brothers and sisters, we're going to fly away one of these days. We're going to fly away one of these days. The time your heart's troubled, the next time this world's beating upon you and trying to knock you down, take those words to comfort one another with. You know, one of these days, we won't have to mess with this stuff anymore. Praise God.